Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Technology Uncorked. My name is Jeff Quattromani, and this show is brought to you by Navman. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it feels like it's been a little while. It hasn't. It's only been a week. And I will tell you, though, that in that week, I've been having a lot of fun. And one of the reasons, and we'll get to all of those other reasons soon, but one of the reasons is that I have been using the newest dash cam from Navman. It's the Pro T Series dual cam. And a couple of things that I absolutely love about this unit is, first of all, it's discreet. It sits above near where the rear vision mirror is. It's out of the way. It's perfectly mounted to the windscreen. Doesn't need its own suction cup holder and things like that. It's a really nice fitted device that you would probably never remove from the car. You would probably leave it there forever. And the reason you can do that is because it does have Wi-Fi. You do have an app that can pair with it for transferring footage as well. But what I will tell you as well is that beyond all of those things, all of the features that now come with it are just getting outstanding. It still has a large screen on the back, so you can actually still see live what the camera is also seeing in terms of positioning. That's really important. But also, you've still got the menu system all there where you can keep track of things. You'll get your speed zone alerts. You'll get your camera alerts. All of that still happens on the dash cam. So it's not just a camera that's recording what's happening in front of you. It actually is genuinely helping you keep you safe and make sure that you're aware of all of your surroundings as you go. So far, so good. It's been a really nice product to use. I can see there's a huge range of new products coming on from Navman as well, and so many I haven't tested. I feel like I just need to spend a lot of time in the car. I'm waiting for things to open up so I can do more of that. My biggest trips lately have been to and from a hospital, and I'll tell you about that in a second. But check out the entire range. If you do not have a dash cam, and I'll tell you another thing. If you have someone in your life who is about to start driving, maybe they've just gotten their license and they're about to start driving, get them a dash cam. It could not be a better gift. Don't get them seat covers. Don't get them subwoofers or anything like that. Get them a dash cam. Head to navman.com.au and check out their entire range. It doesn't have to cost you the earth. It can certainly just make sure they've got that second pair of eyes on the road. Navman.com.au. Let's get on with the show.
Brasimbrasma, Jeff Quattromani, multi-Australian in Sydney.
Tech expert Jeff Quattromani.
Jeff Quattromani, thank you very much from Sydney.
Jeff Quattromani is here.
And now it's time to talk technology with Jeff Quattromani.
Jeff Quattromani.
Hello, everybody. Thanks for tuning in.
What the heck? Let's talk tech.
Now, you can definitely already tell that I'm struggling. I'm struggling a little bit, guys. I'm a little bit low on sleep. We have welcomed our daughter, Bianca, into the world, and we are extremely excited by that. That's what I mean by those couple of trips that I've been doing to and from the hospital. It's been to make sure that I can bring Bub home, and Bub home safely. And that's probably been the most important thing, is making sure that we all get home safely, and we have. We're home. It's been around a week now that she joined us, and we are very happy. Mum and Bubs are doing very, very well. And, you know, she has a big brother, and he's obviously excited to see her too. So a lot going on. I am still keeping in touch with everything happening in technology. It's been interesting. I attended some briefings this week just via Zoom and kept the camera off, just joined in through audio because, hey, I probably wasn't in very good shape to be seen. But we are keeping in touch because there is so much happening. I've actually looking at my list of things to talk about this week, and it's comprehensive. It actually could have been twice as long, and I've had to cull a couple of things just to try and keep it relevant, short, and sharp. Now, I found this, first of all, which I really had to talk about, top search term on Bing. Anyone use Bing? Some people do. And the biggest reason that I could see people using it is actually to get to Google. And this is hilarious because the top search term on Bing is Google. I love that. So if your homepage is set to Bing for whatever reason, you can actually just change it to be the Google homepage if you would prefer to use that. Or you can continue to type Google every time you open up your homepage to make sure you get to a search engine that gives you really, really good results. And I do think in my testing, when I do tests using Bing or tests using Google Search, I actually think Google Search gives me the results that I'm actually looking for more so than Bing does. But each to their own. From what I can also see here, Google's responsible for over 90% of worldwide searches. That's huge. Now, I skipped a beat. I didn't mention what I'm drinking today, and that's something that we always open the show with, and it's something that we've become known for. We are usually uncorking something as part of this show, but I can tell you, and again, blame it on the lack of sleep. I'm on water and coffee as a fixed diet at the moment, and that's what we're having today on the show. Now, I wanted to quickly talk about something a lot of people may not be aware of, and it's called the AirSpeeder series. Now, AirSpeeder is, imagine a large drone. Imagine a drone that could be something you could physically sit in. If you think about the cars or the speeders that are used in Star Wars, The Phantom Menace, that Anakin is driving, imagine what looks like a bobsled, but with four propeller blades, much like a drone. I think it's actually eight because I think it's double-sided. But imagine a drone that is the size of a bobsled. That's effectively what Airspeeder is. And what they're actually doing with Airspeeder is going to have racing. Now, these huge human-sized drones are going to be racing in all parts of the world, all different locations, but it's actually been born within Australia. Now, it's an Australian company that's really firing this up, and naturally they're making a huge amount of technology partnerships as well. And one of the ones I wanted to quickly call out this week was actually around how they're going to do telemetry. Because at the moment, these Airspeeders don't have human beings inside them. They're actually remote controlled. So being remote controlled to go around a huge circuit, which will actually be obviously in the air, not physically on the ground, they'll be remote controlled by pilots that will sit and race these drones. I think it's going to be the most amazing thing. I cannot wait to see this series kick off. But you know, the question has to come up that, okay, you're going to have these drones that can fly incredibly fast, do amazing maneuvers. I mean, I'm thinking Formula One in the air. How do you possibly do that via remote control when, first of all, you need to have vision and you need to have full control of the vehicle? It's just a huge amount of effort. So 5G comes into place. And a lot of times people will say, well, I don't need 5G. What else? How could I possibly need Facebook to load faster? Well, this is a really good example of why 5G is important. Now, obviously, not everyone is going to be flying these Airspeeders, but it's a really good use case because, you know, Telstra made this announcement and they talked about this partnership with Airspeeder in that the latency or the low latency and the incredible speed of 5G is what really enables the telemetry, the vision, and the full control of these Airspeeder to be done completely remotely. And what's also fascinating here is that you think about, yeah, you'll have the pilot who will be controlling this drone. I call it a drone. It's the Airspeeder. But think about the rest of the team that will be paying attention to all of the other telemetry and figures that comes from these Airspeeders as they're racing. All of that data is also being sent to other members of the team. Now, let's be clear here. Not everyone in the team may be potentially on site. So even though at the actual racetrack or whatever they're going to call it, I think they can call it a track, but wherever that location is, there'll be people who will be sitting in their headquarters overseas, maybe in the UK, in the US, in Australia, and they'll also be able to see that data. So you've got these flying drones going head to head. What I will feel is going to be such a risky race. It's going to be so much fun to watch. And there'll be data literally flying through the air, hopefully a lot faster than these things can move, because decisions will need to be made even faster than that. And it's genuinely that 5G speed that's going to create that. And I'm so excited to see this sport kick off. At some point, they are genuinely talking that at some point these will actually be human controlled inside the Airspeeder itself. So remote control for now. Eventually, a human being will be able to go into this and pilot it for real. But I actually almost think in some ways having the pilot outside of the Airspeeder may mean that they take more risky maneuvers and that the racing could actually be more enjoyable as a result. So let's wait and see what happens, but do stay tuned. It's going to be called Airspeeder, and you know, the technology in this is going to be everywhere. I mean, we're talking about connectivity today. I'm sure that next time I give you an update on the Airspeeder series, it could be about something completely different. We know that other brands like NVIDIA is involved. I'll be curious to see what that means for them, probably around virtual reality. I have a feeling their virtual reality headsets will be used by the pilots. And again, how the heck does that kind of telemetry and vision get transferred so fast? Well, there's your answer again. It's 5G. Now, I want to quickly talk about something. I've tested earbuds from almost every brand. It's astounding to me that since the AirPods came to be, how much the wireless earpods market has exploded. If you think about Bluetooth headphones, yeah, we've always had them, but wowee, buds have become just the norm. That if you've got a phone, you pretty much need to get a pair of buds if you want to listen to content with them. Having a physical cable connected to them seems a bit archaic these days. Now, buds, I've tested a couple. I've tested so many. LG had a briefing this week where they were announcing a new series of their buds. Now, I've tested their previous model. It was the one that had the ability to remove 99% of bacteria inside the charging case. It was a nice pair of black buds that when you put them back in the charging case. It would literally use blue light or LEDs or some magic to remove the bacteria on my headphones. So if for whatever reason you shared headphones, or if you've just got dirty ears, taking your headphones in and out of your ears and when they're getting dirty is actually really bad for you. Pretty good chance of getting an ear infection as a result. But the new ones are interesting. They've changed the design quite a bit. They've made them quite slimline and a little bit more discreet, I should say. They look a little bit more like AirPods Pro in that they've got the very short stem on them. They are still black, which I think black looks really, really sexy. But they've changed the design to try and fit the ear shape a little bit better. But they've added one feature that wasn't their big selling point, but was one that really captured my attention. So out of the three that's being available, the most exciting one is the FP9A. LG, you could do something about your naming conventions, but the FP9A, can't wait to ask for that when you go to JB Hi-Fi, has the ability to connect to auxiliary ports. So imagine this. You've got a situation where you've only got your Bluetooth earbuds in your pocket or in your bag, but you've approached a piece of equipment that only accepts 3.5 mil, so doesn't have Bluetooth. It has a headphone jack, but no Bluetooth. It could just be a computer. It could be a treadmill. It could be an exercise bike. And for me, it captured my eyeballs. Now, when we used to go to gyms and we used to do those kinds of things, one of the things I loved about using the treadmills at the gym or the bikes or whatever it is they had the very large screens fitted to the equipment, and you could catch up on most Foxtel channels, whether it was different news channels or it was TV shows, whatever it was. But you needed to plug headphones in because you can't walk up to any treadmill in the gym, pair your headphones every time. It would be a nightmare. It just wouldn't work. So that's why all fitness equipment usually still has that 3.5 mil jack. So with these new ones from LG, the FP9A, the actual case has a plug that can go into the 3.5 mil jack. There's a small cable that comes with it, and it goes from the case into a 3.5 mil jack. And then when you take the buds out, the buds will automatically connect to the case. So yes, you could have your buds normally paired to your smartphone, and it will do that. But when you have it in the mode of using auxiliary, it actually connects to the case, and the case is connected to the 3.5 mil. And that means that you're using Bluetooth on your treadmill, but where the case is actually connected to that jack. It's genius. You can also think about this in terms of flight. You know, when you do get on a domestic or international flight, if they do have the 3.5 mil jack on the infotainment system, you plug the case into that jack, and there you are sitting back with a pair of noise-canceling earbuds from LG, and it would work. Still no cord connected to you, but your case is connected to the plug. You know, LG talked about, you know, using this for work laptops and things like that, where you could just sit down at a desk, plug the case into the computer, and automatically your earbuds will start to work for microphone and audio. And that's a huge advantage too, that for whatever reason, your corporate laptop might be locked down from a Bluetooth perspective. Well, that's fine. Just plug your case into the 3.5 mil jack and away you go. I think it's really, really smart. And I just had to mention that. Now, beyond all of that, noise cancelling is becoming the norm. It's all standard. Very plug and play. We'll work with iPhones. We'll work with Android devices and from LG. I'm very excited by them. I will probably have to try and test them, especially that particular model. And battery life has gone through the roof as well. Usually, I think it's at least 10 hours between charges on the actual buds themselves. And I think with the case, you're getting around 24 hours. So it's full on. And I said this in an article for The Australian recently that the Apple AirPods are desperate for an update, and for a number of reasons. A, they're low on features now, but B, they're priced out of the market. Anybody who's buying a pair of AirPods is a little bit crazy, especially the original, the OG version with the long stem. Crazy if you're buying one when there's competitors like Jabra, LG, Sony, and others that are producing better products at a cheaper price with more features. It just doesn't make sense anymore to buy a pair of AirPods. They are so desperate to update them. I can't believe they missed the boat on the last Apple event. Oh, and the other one to mention too is the Pixel Buds A. I've been using them a little bit as well, and they are fantastic. They are really, really good little earbuds. Now, three more stories. We're going to talk about all the amazing, seriously, there was some amazing stuff that was announced this week. We're going to talk about all the amazing announcements from Amazon. Huge changes coming there, some amazing products to talk about there. Facebook. We're not talking about Facebook as a platform, we're going to talk about Facebook products, and there's two that will be worth chatting about, and then Microsoft. Microsoft held an event, and I wish I watched this one live because I would have been clapping through it. They literally announced a whole range of laptops, tablets, and foldables that we definitely need to talk about as well. So stay tuned for the rest of the show. Now, also this week, we had huge announcements from Amazon. Now, Amazon every now and then just get up on stage. I don't know when or where this actually happens, but it just does. And they basically talk about a huge amount of products that are coming out under their brands. Now, Amazon, obviously, we've seen their Echo products and things like that, but they also own Ring, which is the security camera or doorbell brand that people know and love. And they also announced new products under that brand as well. But let's start with something that is definitely a future vision product. It's something that we wouldn't be able to see in Australia yet, but they're actually going to be on sale via an invitation in the US. Now, the first thing is going to be rolling around people's homes. It's called Astro. Now, this is what we've been talking about for a long time. It's the robots. The robots are here. This is effectively a tablet mounted to a robot minus the vacuum part that can follow you around, that can see through cameras, that can talk to you and you can talk back to it. But funnily enough, it's even got two drink holders on the back. I don't know. And look, you may say that's a bit weird, but is it? Because you could be in the kitchen. You could be in the kitchen, or somebody else could be in the kitchen, and you could just tell Astro, go to the kitchen and then ask my wife, get me a beer. And Astro could drive into the kitchen, stop, and say, can you please put a beer in here for me? And then a beer could be placed in Astro. Astro could then be told, go back to Jeff, and it will find me in the home with the beer in its back tray. That's the future of robotics. But obviously much more than that. This can actually be following you around. So say, for example, for me, Saturday morning, usually cleaning day for us, where, you know, cleaning bathrooms, whatever you're doing, getting things ready for the next week ahead. And I could effectively have Astro just following me. I could be like, hey, play whatever playlist. And it could just be playing music through its speakers while I'm walking around the house. It literally just follows me around as I'm going, continue to play my music. I could ask it questions. I could ask it to go and make an announcement to somebody, such as, hey, I've run out of, I don't know, wipes or spray and wipe or whatever it is. And it can go and drive away and make announcements. But even when you're not home, Astro can go and drive around the home and pay attention to the house. And that effectively means that it can go around the home, understand what normal looks like, and then on following trips, if it starts to see something that is abnormal, it can record that and let you know about it. So basically, it's watching out. So if, for example, the next time it drives around, it notices that a window is now open, that's probably something you would want to know about. So it's going to be able to monitor like a little guard dog in your home. This, again, it's going to cost $1,000, available in the US via invitation only. But I think Astro is absolutely so, so cool. I cannot wait to actually see this in person. I hope at some point it comes to Australia. There is no word from Amazon about whether it will come to Australia, though. So I think it may be something we see in the US, and then maybe a version 2 of Astro is something that will actually come to market here. The other thing that they sort of updated and has become more of an official product, again, not available in Australia just yet, is from Ring, and it's the Always Home Cam. Now, this is a drone security camera. So imagine this, a little base station. You maybe put it in the laundry. I don't know why I said that, but let's just stick with the laundry. You put the little Ring Cam drone in the laundry on its base station plugged into power. And then maybe once a day or whenever you actually need it to, it can get up and fly anywhere around the home and use its cameras to record the footage or to just monitor. Now, what's fascinating about this is, again, if I'm not home and maybe Astro's busy, it could just do a sweep of the entire home. And remember here, being a drone, two-story home definitely beats Astro in getting up those stairs. So it could literally fly around the home, check everything, or you could be away and remotely control that drone and go and check the front door, go and see the back, go and pay attention to the dog and see what's actually happening there. I think this is incredible. So imagine just a Ring doorbell strapped onto a drone that can be controlled by you. So it can be automated or it can be completely controlled when you want it to. I've also seen instances where they talk about using this with sound detection. So again, I'm away. Say, for example, I was in the hospital and a window breaks on the other side of the house. Ring could hear that noise and immediately deploy the drone. The drone flies straight to that window, and if somebody's trying to crawl in, bang, we got them on camera, and they've also been completely blown away by the technology that's in that house. It's very exciting. Again, not coming to Australia just yet. They also announced a couple of things before I get into what is coming to Australia. Some other things they announced was a Disney-themed Alexa. So think about an Alexa smart display that goes into kids' bedrooms. It's got like the big Mickey Mouse ears on it and things like that. But it's also got voices of Disney characters. That's not coming to Australia because they haven't got licensing from Disney to do that in this market yet. There's a workout band very similar to Fitbit. It's called Amazon Halo. That looks exciting, but we won't see that one yet. And there's also a new smart alarm from Ring with a built-in Wi-Fi router. I think that's going to be interesting. I would love to see that come to Australia, but we're still waiting for that. So what is coming to Australia and what can you be excited about? Well, first of all, let's talk about the one that I am most excited about. It's the Echo Show 15. Now, we've seen Echo devices before. I've used a number of them from 5-inch to 8 to 10. The 15, it's a 15.6-inch Full HD smart display. So thinking about it's touchscreen, but it can be mounted to the wall, as in it's thin. It looks like a picture frame, and it can be mounted to the wall, and it effectively becomes a lot of households have like a notice board or a whiteboard that they use in the home just to write things on, whether it's, you know, dentist appointment for Jimmy, you know, grocery delivery on this day, or a little message to say, have fun at school, kids, because the parents have had to run off early, whatever it is. Or it could just be building your shopping list. A lot of people just have a space in the home where they do that. This will replace all of that. The smart display will obviously be able to show pictures. You'll be able to show a shared calendar, whether it's, you know, breakfast appointments, dentist appointments, things like that. Your shopping list could be on there, the weather, and also post-it notes in a virtual format. And on top of obviously those basic things with a display, you can also use it to talk to. So it still has all of your Amazon commands as well. But this is going to be what they want to say, the hub of the home. They really want something like this to be sitting in the kitchen, in a central part of the house where it can be seen by everybody. It can be interacted with by anybody. And with voice recognition, it will also be able to tailor responses to you. So, you know, mum walks out of the bedroom and asks a question about her day, it can give some responses to her that are specific to her. Same thing with dad. He may walk in and say, how long is it going to take me to get to work? And using voice recognition, it knows who you are, obviously, and where you work because you've told it, and it will be able to tell you that as well. I'm so excited by this. They have talked about a level of water and dust resistance with this. This isn't something that should be too close to stoves, ovens, and things like that. If you're cooking, you probably aren't going to touch it, but it has got a small level of water resistance built into it. So it could potentially take a bit of splashing. You know, if you're cooking and you had wet fingers, probably not a bad thing to touch it, but hey, use your voice. It's coming very, very soon. We're seeing this probably next year, though, like early next year, but this isn't something that's never going to happen, and we're talking about $399. I actually think that's a really good price, and soon we'll talk about the stuff from Facebook as well, where you can start to see some comparisons, but I'm very, very excited by this particular smart display. I really just think it's genius. I think it's really, really smart. Now, the other thing that Amazon did announce, maybe not as exciting, but it could be more exciting when you actually try them, a pair of buds. Like I said, who doesn't have a pair of buds to sell you at the moment? There's one from Amazon, and it is absolutely coming. So this is going to be an exciting pair of buds, they say. I think the most exciting part to me is the price. $169 for the base model, where the case needs to be wired charged, or $199 for a wireless charging case. They reckon that these buds are fantastic. They say that it's more about sound than it is about just having Alexa in your ear. But it's one of those things. I need to try them. So it's got noise cancellation and everything else. Again, another example where why would you buy a pair of AirPods when you've got something like this, which again is still cheaper than any AirPods you could possibly buy. And it has wireless charging, et cetera, et cetera. Facebook. Facebook carried a similar pathway to Amazon in some ways. Now, Facebook actually was first. I've just flipped them in the news categories here. But Facebook announced two Portal devices. Now, not the first time. Facebook have had Portal devices before, and I gave one to my parents actually when the pandemic first kicked off quite a while back. It feels like forever ago now. And it really allowed us to use Facebook Messenger for video calling without being stuck to our smartphones. So what it is, Portal as a product is effectively a smart display that has a voice assistant on there. I think the original Portals had Amazon's voice assistant on there as well. And it allows you to sign in with your Facebook account. And then if I call you on Facebook, your smartphone will ring as well as the Portal device. And it means that you can have a really nice video conversation. The cameras in them are very good, and they've actually been quite smart. When I remember testing them, the original versions, where you could effectively move around the room, and while the device itself isn't moving, it's got such a wide-angle lens with intelligent cropping that the camera can effectively pan and follow you in a digital way. It's very, very smart, and the cameras are sensational. It is better than using your smartphone. The microphones built into the devices and the speakers are much better than you find on smartphones. And it's one of those things that if you don't have a smartphone, then a Portal makes a lot of sense. The other thing with the Facebook Portal is that you can add your WhatsApp account to it as well as your Facebook one. So, you know, if you do receive a video or audio call on WhatsApp, you could also take that on the Portal device. The two new ones that are coming to market are fascinating to me. One of them is portable. So it's the first time I've seen a portable smart display where it looks like a typical smart display, not that surprising in its design. It's a 10-inch display. It's got a 14-inch display. Is it? No, it's not. That's the one I'm about to talk about. I'm so sorry. It's a 10-inch screen, and it's got a 12-megapixel camera on the front. This is what I mean. It's got a really high-quality camera, and it comes with a battery and a handle built in. So effectively, it could be left in the kitchen. It could be there that you're something you talk to and potentially receive calls on, or you could take it to the coffee table in the lounge room where multiple people are going to sit around the device for a more family-oriented call. I think that's really, really smart. I also think taking it out next to the barbecue is fantastic. If I'm doing a barbie, I don't have to be strapped to the device that's inside. I can actually take it out there with me, use the speakers, probably listen to music on the device as well. Very, very smart. This one's going to be $279, so not a lot of money. I'm talking Australian pricing here. The one that I am excited about, and I did spoil it, is a 14-inch version. The 14-inch version is not portable. It's a plugged-in model. This, I feel, belongs on the desk. And it's a weird thing to say that, you know, when you're at your desk, you've got a big monitor in front of you, but this has the ability to use Zoom or Microsoft Teams and other applications like that, which means that I could be viewing my corporate diary, I'm hoping, on the device, or my personal diary on the device. And if I'm booked in for a WebEx or a Zoom or a Teams call, click on the display with a tap and launch that. Now, as I said, with the camera being so good on the device, the microphones and the speakers being so good, why wouldn't you? This just seems like the kind of device I would have on my desk, and it would allow me to just, without a thought, just start my next meeting on that device. I'm really keen to do that, and I'm really keen to try it. And you know you're going to probably see a review on that at officefortomorrow.com. 14-inch device, I'm very excited. $519 for this puppy though. So don't rush out and buy it. Let me come back to you and tell you whether it's worth it or not, because it is a bit more of a jump. So I definitely understand that. Now, after this, we are going to talk about all of the news from Microsoft, including their foldable tablet / phone. Hallelujah, someone is doing something good with tablets. Now, look, for a lot of people, I think when we think about tablets, we think about iPads. I mean, hey, it really is the default kind of option. Actually, it's funny. Speaking of Apple, I'll let you guys in on a little thing I did today. I had a camera crew come to my place today, sent from a gentleman in the UK. I've never worked with anybody in the UK before, especially on a project such as this. And there's a documentary being made. I think it's called Trillions or something similar once it's announced. And I don't know if that was public information. Anyway, there's a documentary being made about Apple. And for whatever reason, this gentleman in the UK, the director or somebody, reached out to me and asked if he could interview me for his documentary. I said, okay, yeah, sure. So literally a full crew come to my place. And I mean, hey, of all times to do it, why not within the first week of having a newborn? And we talked about Apple from the beginning to now. And obviously one of the things I did mention was that while Apple aren't necessarily the first to do things, they tend to be the one that people remember as the first. And I think with tablets, the iPad is definitely one of those examples. You know, the Apple Watch is another one. We certainly had smartwatches before that, but people still think about smartwatches as Apple Watches. But Microsoft held an event. It feels like the week that I'm in hospital and busy with things, everyone decides to have announcements. Microsoft decided to hold theirs, and they were talking a lot about tablets, laptops, and foldables. And it's funny to me because I don't, for a long time, I don't look at Microsoft as the place for innovation. I just don't. And I know that their Surface products are fantastic. I know that their Surface laptops are also very nice as well. But I couldn't quite tell you what the real standout feature for those normally is. But now I feel like I can. I feel like what they're doing this year is definitely surprising me and making them more appealing. Now, obviously, with Windows 11 on our doorsteps, this is probably a perfect time for these kinds of announcements to be taking place, and I get it. Now, what they have done here is they've got a Surface Pro 8, which is just like a normal Surface. It's a large screen tablet, 13 inches, which is fantastic, but you've still got the keyboard and touchpad cover that can be used with it. It still has the kickstand. The kickstand can seemingly bend all the way back, so effectively any viewing angle that you could imagine. I still don't gravitate much towards the Surface because despite being more compact than a laptop, its footprint is not smaller than a laptop. Now, with a kickstand plus the keyboard, it actually has a deeper footprint than a laptop does. So when you're using this on your actual lap, it actually needs more space than a laptop does, which is a bit of a hassle. But some big changes coming there, obviously with more power, more USB-C ports on there as well, which I think is fantastic. I think we should have more of those on devices. And there's also a small tray built into the keyboard cover for the pen. The pen looks like it's able to do so much more than it ever could, mostly because of the new pressure sensors that they've built into it. So very impressed by that. It's got a 16-hour battery life. I mean, hello. 16-hour battery life, a 4K, again, 4K 10-megapixel camera on the back and a 5-megapixel camera on the front. Honestly, if it was me, flip that thing around. I don't need a good camera on the back of my laptop. I need a good camera on the front where I'm doing video calls. But that's Microsoft's call. We've also seen some interesting laptop design coming from them. The Surface Pro X, I think that's what it's called, if I remember it correctly, looks like a laptop, but then the screen itself can actually pivot the opposite way to create what looks more like a Surface, in that the display slides over the keyboard, so it hides the keyboard, then eventually hides the touchpad, and then it can effectively fold flat. So you could then use it as a tablet. So in terms of the versatility that they're now offering in Surface products, you can think about different scenarios where you would use it, whether it's I need to do work, so I want the screen unfolded totally so it shows the keyboard and mouse. I maybe just need the mouse because I'm doing a presentation, or maybe I want it completely flat because I just want to use the touch screen. You know, there are so many different ways you can now use these Surface products, and I think it's just getting smarter and smarter. The big part, though, the product that is absolutely worth talking about here is the Duo 2. Now, the Duo 1 was one of the things that didn't come to Australia, nor was it very successful. It was a foldable tablet that couldn't do much more than just be a foldable tablet. The Duo 2, however, brings with it a whole bunch of new changes, and I'm so excited by this. It is not one screen. It is two screens. Imagine an iPad mini that had a hinge in the middle. It's not entirely visible. There's a hinge at the top and the bottom, and then it kind of has a seamless bevel in the middle. Bezel. But the screen does go edge to edge on the inside particularly. And when you fold that device, it can be folded in either direction. So yes, it can be folded shut, but it can also be folded over. So if you think about a notepad that has a ring binder on it, imagine this, the ability to swing all the way back and all the way forward. So it could be used just as one side of the screen if you fold it all the way across, or it can be completely closed. There is no screen on the outside of it, so it is completely protected when it is completely shut. However, if you receive a phone call, you can take a call on this device. It's not just a tablet, it can also be a phone. So this really does start getting into Galaxy Fold territory, and it really is going to start stepping on their toes. The benefit of having the two screens is that you can have a very hard split screen, where effectively you are typing and interacting on WhatsApp on the right-hand side and potentially browsing the web on the left-hand side, where the keyboard isn't stretched across two screens. It can be stuck on one side, or you can choose to combine the two screens where the keyboard is stretched across both, where you may be typing up an email where you don't want distractions. So again, a really exciting innovation here. This one is coming to Australia. I absolutely cannot wait to see it. It is going to be around the $2,000 mark, though. They're actually expecting it to be around the $2,300 mark, which is even more and a bit more eye-watering, but in late October. It does undercut the Galaxy Fold 3 by potentially around $200. So it can be enticing. I am absolutely excited by this because for me, I don't carry a tablet. I use a tablet at home from time to time, but I certainly never carry one with me. But I do sometimes feel like I could use a larger display. And if I could potentially have a 2-in-1 without it feeling too big when it's folded and in my pocket, hey, we are definitely talking here. You know, it's still got 5G, Bluetooth, Wi-Fi. It's got multiple cameras. I think it's 2 cameras on the outside and 3 cameras on the inside or something like that. Like, it's out of this world, got all of the bells and whistles, and it needs to at that price, but it's going to be one to watch. I'm telling you, Microsoft is potentially making a bit of a comeback. And I didn't think I would say that this year. New laptops, new tablets, and a foldable, that to me is extremely exciting. So stay tuned for more on the Surface Duo 2 coming to Australia very, very soon. I think it's the end of this month. So bring it on. We will wrap this podcast up there. I have a whole bunch of deliveries coming this week. I mean, I'm being away for effectively a week in hospital certainly means that you miss a number of deliveries. The new Sonos Beam Gen 2 is here. It's literally sitting in a box next to me. It arrived today. A Samsung 8K TV is also on the way. A Traeger grill is here and needs to be unboxed and tested. It's got Wi-Fi to control the heat and the temperature and the timings. I can't wait to actually play with that as well. There is so much coming, and I'm going to try and get those LG buds to test. I want to try those Facebook portals. I want to try everything I could possibly get my hands on. But if there is a product that you are genuinely concerned about and want to hear more information about, please, at any point, send me an email, hit me up on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram. You know, you can literally reach me in any way, shape, or form. Thank you for listening. Time for another double espresso, I believe. And we'll speak to you again on this podcast next week. Bye-bye.